Our study tonight is out of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10b through 22, Peter's discerning description of false teachers. Before the Apostle Peter began to minister for the Lord in the church, his outlook was impacted by Christ's prophecy in John 21, verses 18 through 19, that he would be crucified for Christ. So eternity was thus often in the mind of Peter. Indeed, as it should be on all of our minds, because that's where our destiny is. In accord with this theme, 2 Peter 2, 10b to 22 presents Peter's description of false teachers, so that his readers might clearly discern false teachers after Peter's passing, and thus overcome their error. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 21, Peter expressed his concern for people who would survive him, Christians who would survive him, because of the errors that were around there, and there was a lot of falsehood that was beginning to spread around Christians, and he knew it. And of course, Peter was the one, he knew the Lord personally face to face, and he knew that the Lord would be very concerned about this as well. So we view this passage for our insight, our application, and edification. I'd like to read the passage first, and then we'll look at it. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll start at the beginning of verse 10, and then we'll go all the way to verse 22, which is the end of the chapter. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they do not understand, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart that they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb donkey, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them to live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to its own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Okay. It's rare that in a conservative and an evangelical church you would run into false teachers like this, but the characteristics that are described here are very telling, and I've run into this in the pastorate, because they're typical of those who teach that which is false. The false teachers, controlled by their sin natures, typically rebel against lawful authorities. That's verses 10b to 12. Being both bold and willful, they slander celestial beings without trembling over retribution. This behavior contrasts greatly with even godly angels who, though greater in might and power than such false teachers, do not heap verbal abuse on such beings when even bringing judgment on them from the Lord as his agents. Now, the beings that apparently they're critiquing, they may be demons or they may be good angels, but they're celestial beings. That's a very dangerous thing. We are never told directly, for example, to, and charismatics do this, to say, Satan, get thee behind me. The only one who can crush Satan is God. What we do is appeal to God. God handles Satan. Jesus could tell Satan to get behind him because he was the Son of God. That's different than us. So it's a very dangerous thing to try to command Satan to do something because you can get wrapped up into real problems. Such false teachers carelessly and spiritually dangerously blaspheme in matters they do not understand, for they are like unreasoning animals, creatures of instincts, born only to be caught and destroyed. So like animals, they too will perish. So that's a very typical thing, insubordination. Second, the false teachers are marked by unbridled lusts of the sin nature. That's another thing, the sinful nature, the lusts of it are very, very prevalent. Such teachers will be paid back for the harm they have done, since their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight without a sense of shame. Now, we see this increasingly with politicians, unsaved politicians. They're involved in things, and they're not even shamed about what they say and what they do. But this is typical of those who are false teachers as well. When they feast with unsuspecting believers, they are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures with eyes full of adultery, always looking at women with sexual lusts in mind. The false teachers never stop sinning, but they seduce the unstable, experts in greed of all kinds, an accursed brood of animalistic sinners. They do act very much like animals that don't have any restraint. That's very typical. Like the errant prophet Balaam, son of Beor, of old, who loved the bribery of wickedness, the false teachers have left the straight and wonderful and wandered off after false gain. That, incidentally, is another characteristic, going after money, have an inordinate desire for money, dishonest money. They don't care any way they can get a hold of money, and that's a problem. The false teachers are rash, like Balaam, who was rebuked by a donkey that did not naturally have the human ability to speak, but spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. Rashness, this would be a carelessness, a boldness that goes beyond politeness. It's just really rough. That's something to watch out for. The false teachers are full of deception. That's another characteristic, verses 17 through 19. Peter called them springs without water. In other words, they offer to be springs that provide water, but they don't have any water. Mists that are driven by a storm. Instead of taking leadership, they have a tendency to go with the prevailing winds of the storm. They adopt the ideology of the day and just float along with that. That's something. That the blackest darkness is reserved for them because they mouth empty, boastful words and appeal to the lustful desires of the sinful nature to entice vulnerably naive people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They are experts at taking a hold of people who are vulnerable and twisting them, wrapping them around their little finger and controlling them. Watch out for that. False teachers promise their hearers freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them and sin has mastered them. For example, they may indicate that they will give other people freedom. And what they mean is, and they'll say, you know, if you go to that church, that's legalistic. We'll give you freedom over here. But the freedom that they give over here is full of a drunkenness, drug abuse, that kind of a thing. So it's a false freedom. False teachers promise their hearers freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. Then the false teachers are headed for a catastrophic end due to their waywardness. Verses 20 and 22. Peter noted that if they had once escaped the world's corruption by knowing about the Lord Jesus Christ, only to become entangled in the world's lusts and overcome by it, they end up being worse than they were in the beginning before they knew about the Lord. Now, I take it these are apostates who never knew the Lord. Yeah, because if you go back to in the same context in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says they denied the Lord that bought them. And the only way they can deny the Lord that bought them is if the Lord bought, in fact, he paid for the sins of the whole world, including false teachers. But these false teachers never did come around to accepting Christ as their Savior. So these are people who have actually flirted with the truth and gone into the truth. A classic example is Marx, Karl Marx. Karl Marx started off in a theological seminary training to be a pastor. He actually wrote an article about fellowship with Jesus Christ, and it referred to John chapter 15, abiding in Christ and whatso. And then he turned his back completely on, he never was a believer, and threw off and became absolutely atheistic. So that's a classic situation of the kind of person that we're talking about here. Number two, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, and then turn their backs on the sacred command that had been passed on to them. The sacred command would be the command to believe in Christ. Peter referred to two convicting proverbs about these false teachers, that a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to wallowing in the mud. You can take the pig out of the mud, but you can't take the mud out of the pig, as they say. So the lesson is, false teachers are controlled by their sinful natures. They're rebellious against powerful authorities. They're rash, shamelessly lustful, lovers of money, insanely absurd, deceptive, hypocritical, and headed for an awful destruction. So in application, if we note any religious teacher who is controlled by his sin nature, rebellious against powerful authorities, rash, shamelessly lustful, a lover of money, insanely absurd, deceptive, hypocritical, and headed for an awful destruction, may we not follow his teaching, but avoid it and avoid his influence. Now that's saying something, because often these religious teachers are very influential people. They have very strong personalities. And there are people that will go after that personality, just like a personality cult. But you got to be objective when you're evaluating these teachers. On the other hand, if we encounter a teacher who's controlled by the Holy Spirit and is submissive to authority, considerate, honorable, free of the love of money, logically consistent, who lives what he teaches and is headed for an honorable end, may we give him a hearing and test what he says against Scripture before accepting it as the truth. Now, you notice I didn't say just because you find these qualities of the teacher that are opposite false teachers that you automatically buy what he says is true. No, 1 John 4:1 says there are many false prophets, many false teachers that are going out into the world. So test the spirits. Test all the spirits. Test the man who appears to be good. Test him. And I don't mind it, you know, people testing me. Please, please do. Because I don't want any question as to credibility of the ministry. So go ahead, test it. And in fact, when I first came to Nepal, we had some people here, and they told me they watched my eyebrows because they wanted to see if I was deceptive, how I handled my eyebrows, because they knew people who handle their eyebrows in the wrong way. They watched every move I made. And after a while, they became convinced, no, you're not lying. You're telling us what you believe is the truth. And then they rested assured. There were two men in our church who told me that. They watched everything I did because they'd been burned by former pastors. No, I don't mind that at all. If the new people come in, they're looking at me like this, you know, go ahead, examine me. I love it when people do that because we don't want any surprises. But test the spirits. See if they're of God and so forth. I've run into false teaching at times, even in fact, every church that I've been in, I've run into this. And one or more of these tendencies will be there in a person who is promoting a false doctrine. They may not have all of the characteristics, which is, you know, very obviously wicked, but sometimes there's a rebelliousness, sometimes there's a rashness. There are characteristics that show up, and it demonstrates the sin nature. And that's a signal to watch out and, you know, be careful as you proceed. And God will help us to be discerning.